assessing the book of your destiny. God declares the end from the beginning. In other words, before God begins something, you know, he first declares the end. There are certain things he declares from the beginning, not because he wants them to be so, but because he foresaw that they will be so. Then there are certain things that God has also ordained. Those ones he is going to do them. He wants them to happen. And those ones too, he declares them from the beginning.
And there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand.
So, the reason why it's like that is that God has already given dominion over the earth to man. And God has given us power over our will to choose. And God doesn't force us. Before Genesis 1:26, God did everything all by himself. He will say, let there be light, and there will be light. He will say, let the sea multiply with fishes, and they will multiply with fishes. He will say, let the stars spread across the firmament, and it will be so. But as soon as God created man and God said, let us make man in our image and let them have dominion, as soon as God uttered that statement, something changed. What changed is that now if God wants to do something on earth, he needs a witness on this earth. So even the purposes of God that he has purposed in himself, he needs a human vessel to say amen to them before they come to pass. That's why we sometimes get confused that, okay, if God is the one who is in charge, then how come we have so many bad things happening in the world if God is in charge? But you see, God gave man the dominion. He gave the key, you know, to man. And so even if God wants to do something, he must get the witness of man. So for the things that God himself has purposed to do, he sovereignly gets himself witnesses. That's why things he says come to pass. You know, for instance, the purpose that Mary should give birth to Jesus, the Messiah should come through that way. It was established. He declared it. You know, he declared it. He ordained it. It was bound to happen. And because of that, he raised witnesses for himself. People to say amen. He got Isaiah to say it. Isaiah added his voice and said amen. When he came to Mary, Mary also said amen. Then God's purpose was established. So there's always a God part and a man's part. Now, God's purpose and plans, destiny, concerns individuals. There's a destiny for individuals. There's a destiny for families, destiny for nations. And these destinies are written in books in heaven. Come to Revelation 10, verse 8 to 11. I'm going to be reading a lot of scriptures because I want you to get it. 10 verse 8 to 11. Then the voice which I heard from heaven spoke to me again and said, go, take that little book which is open. You see, the book was open. In the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the earth. So I went to the angel and said to him, give me the little book. And he said to me, take and eat it, and it will make your stomach bitter, but it will be as sweet as honey in your mouth. Then I took the little book out of the angel's hand and I ate it. And it was as sweet as honey in my mouth. But when I had eaten it, my stomach became bitter. Then he said to me, you must prophesy again about many people, nations, tongues, and kings. Now, why did the angel tell him to prophesy? Because he had eaten the scroll. What did the scroll contain? The scroll contained the destinies of people, nations, tongues, and kings. So, for God to send John to prophesy to nations, he had to eat the scroll. He had to plant in him the destinies of this nation. Decode for him the destinies of this nation. God's plan and purpose for individuals, families, and nations. There are books for individuals. Everybody have a book in heaven. There are books for families. There are books for nations. There are books for generations, and all those come to Daniel 7 verse 9 to 10. There are many books in heaven, many books, you know. We usually are conversant with the book of life, you know, but there are other books in heaven. We have the book of remembrance, for instance, written before God in heaven, and the other books. Daniel chapter 7, verse 9. I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him, and thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. He was talking about what is going to happen in the end time. Some books were opened. I just wanted to know that there are some books in heaven. Come to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Okay. Verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. So the book of life was there, but there were other books that were also opened before God. What are those books? The books of destinies of people, of nations, because at the end of the day, what God purposed, he wants to see what he purposed for your life, for the family, for the nation, and everything. Malachi 3:16. Okay. It says, then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. People were complaining that it is in vain to serve the Lord. What profit do we get from serving the Lord and keeping his ordinances? He said, even the wicked, they are flourishing and they are prospering. And they were discouraged. Then some people who feared the Lord spoke to them. The Bible said God wrote a book of remembrance before him. It was in heaven. And so it's not only the book of life that is in heaven. There are several other books, book of your destiny, book of, you know, and all that. Now, there is God's purpose and God's destiny for mankind. God's destiny, God's actual intent for creating man, where God wanted man to end. And that was also written in the book. Come to Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. You see, when Adam sinned, the book of destiny of mankind was closed. It was closed. And so God's original intent and God's desire for man was truncated. And he had to take another man to come and open the book. Open the book for mankind to embrace God's destiny. For it to become possible for man to live life according as God planned in eternity. So when Jesus Christ came, what he came to do by reason of his death was to break the seals that contain the destiny of mankind. Man sinned against God and man died. Now, another man came, lived for God and died, paid the price of man, went to hell as man, resurrected as man, went to heaven as man, and is seated at the right hand of God as man. So from eternity to eternity, the destiny of man has been secured. Now, man as God wanted him to be, has become. I'm talking about the destiny of mankind, not individual destiny, but man in general. So Revelation chapter 5, verse 1, and I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll. A scroll is just a book written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Now, this scroll was sealed with seven seals. They were sealed, closed. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and loose its seals. Now, who can access that book for all mankind? who can open the seals of the book of our destiny and make bare, make plain God's plan and God's intent for mankind so that man can assess it. Then no one, verse 3, and no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. You see, so I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. One of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals." And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as though he had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures, the 24 elders, fell down before the lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense. You see, he is telling us what the death of Jesus did for mankind. Just follow. Verse 8. Okay. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe," you see, "and tongue, and people, and nations, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures, the seven elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power, riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing." Hallelujah. Now, the scroll that contained the destiny of man had seven seals. And Jesus Christ was the only one who could prevail to break those seals for man. And when he broke those seals, then seven things happened. You know, power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. Man could now access these things. Adam, when God created Adam, Adam could access only two. Only two. When you read Psalm 2, verse... Let me just read it so that you can get it in context. When you read Psalm 8, verse 2. Okay, he was talking about... what is man? From verse 3. What is man and all that? When I consider your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, son of man that you visit him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor. So you see, Adam was crowned with glory and honor. But there were five more things to be assessed that God had planned for man, because Jesus came to break the seven seals and release power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. Adam had glory and honor. He was crowned with glory and honor. But the five others were not accessible. When Jesus Christ came and broke the seal, every seal that was broken, something happened. So in the same way, Jesus has broken the seal, that the book, the scroll that contained the destiny of mankind. And so as far as God is concerned, man has been saved. He has finished, working on man. Man's destiny has been secured. You know, the devil tried to come in to destabilize things so that man's destiny will be lost. And God raised another man, Jesus Christ. He came as man, lived as man, died as man, went to hell as man, met the devil as man, defeated him as man, took back the authority as man, came back, rose from the dead as man, ascended to heaven as man, sat at the right hand of God as man. And so the destiny of man is complete. That's why we say that the works were finished from the foundation of the world. So now, man, it is possible for man to live and break through and make it to heaven. It's possible. Because Jesus Christ has done it. He has already done it. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. So when he puts us on the path and gives us faith, we only walk on that path that he has charted. He has already charted that path of destiny. This is for mankind. Hallelujah. So the seals released how many things? 7 things. And Jesus was the one who did that. Now, what about you and I? We all know that our ultimate destiny is to be in the city, as we said last week. That's the ultimate destiny. That is what God has planned, to be conformed to the image of his son. That's our ultimate destiny. But God has different paths that he puts us on our way to achieve that ultimate destiny. And everybody has a book that you must come and fulfill the details of that book. Even Jesus Christ, before he could secure the destiny of man, because he came as man, there was a book for him that he had to fulfill. So he had to align his life with the book that had been written about him as man and go through the process so that he would leave an example for us to follow. So before he could break the seals, he had to go through process and he had to fulfill the book of his own destiny as a man. Come to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. Okay. Are you there? Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, talking about Jesus, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin, you had no pleasure. Then he said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do your will, O God. Jesus was speaking. He said, I have come. In the volume of the book that you have written concerning me as man, I have come to fulfill that book and to make sure that my life aligns with what is written in that book. That was Jesus. That is why Jesus Christ, you see, he was the only man who was able to fulfill everything that was written in the book according as God had planned and purposed. Everything. That's why he never wasted time. His ministry, his life was to the point. I mean, everything he did was according to plan. He was walking in prepared places. There was no waste of time, no delay in destiny. We sometimes have delay in destiny because of our inability to adjust to God's, what God has said. And sometimes because we are not matured enough to even assess. And sometimes we are not even sensitive enough to even decode. And sometimes we are pulled down by a lot of things, like, you know, our will, our choices, bad choices, and certain things. So it is normal for human beings to have destinies delayed. Sometimes you go around in cycles before you finally hit the destiny. It's normal. But for Jesus, he never had that problem. Because when he came, his will was completely submitted to the will of God. And so everything he was doing was just according to divine order. So he spent only 3.5 years, and the 3.5 years was right on target, never wasted even a minute. He met all the people he had to meet, did all the miracles that were written in his book, didn't waste time. For us, we may try to do this one, and then try to do that one, try to spend time doing this. Then after spending time, say that, this was not part of God's plan for our life. Then God will come to us with light. Then we readjust. But Jesus Christ never wasted time. He went to a place to pray for people. He went there, prayed for just one person, and then left. Bible says there were a group of impotent folk, people who were weak, who were sick. Then he went there, a man who had been sick for 38 years, went to that man, prayed for that man, and left. I mean, we would have attempted to pray for all of them. Yeah, yes, and it's normal. But because his will was complete submitted to the will of God, and because he was in constant touch with the Father, the details of his book was lived out to pinpoint perfection. So it got to a point he could decide to fulfill destiny himself. He knew that at this point, it is written in my book, I must get a donkey and sit on the donkey and go to Jerusalem. So he said, go to the city. There's a donkey tied upon whom no man has sat. Untie the donkey, bring him, let me sit on him, and let me walk triumphantly to Jerusalem. And he did that. When it was time for him to die, he knew that it's time for me to die. So all that Peter and crew were doing, masters to restab them, cutting people's ears, he was not, you know, because he knew that it had to be so. He had to die. So he told Pilate that, you are lucky. He said, you have no power over me except it was given to you from above. And he told people that, he said, this is the hour and power of darkness. He knew that there was a point in his life where the power of darkness must come upon him, arrest him, and crucify him. That was according to what was written in his book. Hello? So Jesus never wasted time. All the miracles. Do you know that the cripple Peter healed was there in Jesus' time? Yes. And Bible said that he was always laid at the gate called Beautiful. And Jesus was always passing in and out, moving in and out of the temple, never bothered to heal that cripple. And yet he healed people in the temple. In fact, when he went to drive them out of the temple, Bible says the cripple, the blind, the lame, the blind came to him and they healed them in the temple. But this man, he didn't heal. I mean, I would have, if it was me, knowing that I have the power to heal, I would have healed everybody. But you see, you will heal everybody, then God will say that, oh, you should have healed just this person. That's the one I appointed for you to heal. That's what is written in your book. So all that you've healed, all those you've healed, even though you've brought them blessing and health and all that, you have not done what you are supposed to do. Yes. Okay. So it presupposes that for as much as we can follow God's plan, obey God's instruction, we will live our lives according to what God purposed and determined for us. Hallelujah. Yes. So that is the destiny. It is. And the seals were the book was sealed. Mankind, it was sealed. When man sinned, when Adam sinned, the book was sealed. False worship closes the book of our destiny. False worship. You know, that's why there are families that God determined that this family will have this gift. God gave gift to families. All the families with witches, all the witches were supposed to be prophets. Yes, witchcraft in the families, they were prophetic gift that God ordained. So you see the glimpses of the prophetic. You know that, you know the witches are prophetic. Or you don't know. They can just look into a mirror and see you. see you and monitor your movement. But it is the prophetic gift that God determined for the family. But that book was closed because of false worship. That's why idol worship closes destinies for families. God said, the families of those who worship idols, He said, I will visit the iniquity of the fathers to the fourth, third, and fourth generation of them who do not love me, who worship and serve other gods. So false worship closes destiny. At the same time, true worship opens destiny. That's what Paul said. Paul said, I beseech you by the mercy of God that you present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, pleasing unto God, which is your reasonable worship, your spiritual act of worship, that you may assess that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So it is a worship that opens up the seals, the book. When I say worship, I'm not talking about singing. I'm talking about a life that is in alignment with God. When you become born again, your life comes into alignment with God. That is when you can assess God's destiny for your life. That's why God, sometimes there are families that God, when God wants to visit the family, people will get born again in the family. Then they will become sources of light. And because they have become born again, God can now enter the family. And then God's plan for the family will now begin to unfold because somebody has encountered light. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So there are many, many things, you know, like worship and then also timing. Timing opens the book. When it is time, you see, there are seven seals that Jesus broke. Maybe your book may have six seals, maybe four seals, three seals. Every time, God has appointed that at this time, this part of your destiny should break up. You see, at this time. And so destiny is linked to times and seasons. What we call the Kairos movements of God. Along your Chronos. The Chronos is from the womb to the tomb. You see, but the Kairos is God's designated times and seasons along the Chronos, where God intends that you will break certain seals of the book of your destiny and begin to leave out certain things that was written in the book. So God doesn't measure time really by the womb to the tomb. He measures time by the opportunities he gives you. The opportunities he gives you, that's how he measures time. So along your timeline, God has positioned doors and windows that I will open this door. Do you know that sometimes, a lot of times, there are things that God tried to bring our way, but because we're not ready, we miss them. So he opens another door ahead of us on the same path of your destiny. Because he knows our nature. He knows that we are humans. He knows that sometimes it's difficult, you know, in the flesh to align to his will. So God incorporates all that into his plan for us. That's why God can give you an opportunity, you can mess it, you can blow it up. Then say that you go around, then God will open another one for you. And this time you see that you enter into it. It is, even though it will delay your destiny, like I said, Jesus is the only one whose destiny was to pinpoint perfection, never delayed even a single second. So when the time is up, then the seals, they are ready to be broken. In Daniel 12 verse 4, God told Daniel, said, seal the book until the time appointed. So the book will be sealed until the time appointed. When the time is due, it is time for the book to be broken, the seal to be broken. There are aspects of your destiny God will never tell you or reveal to you till a certain time. That's why there are certain prophecies you started receiving at a certain time. You never knew that was God's plan for you. But at a point in time, God started telling you those things. Because that was the time that God had allotted on your timeline for that seal to be broken. So the seal is broken, then you enter into that seal. You enter into that detail of your life. Then you start living it out. In Habakkuk 2:2, the same thing, he said that the vision is for an appointed time. At the end, it shall speak. So when the time is not due, that seal is there. The book is closed. When the time is due, then the seal can be broken and the details can be assessed. That's why our lives are always in times and seasons. And that's why we need wisdom to assess the books. Wisdom would let you know when it is time and the season, so that you know what to do. When God said the Israelites will spend 70 years in captivity, when it was time, wisdom, Daniel prayed for understanding because he understood by the books. And God gave him some codes to decode. And those codes, they opened up the destiny of the nation. That's why the devil wanted to stop him from praying. Because he prayed three times a day and he faced Jerusalem in prayer. What was he doing? He was praying into the destiny of the city of Jerusalem, of the nation of Israel. Because it was time for God to deliver them. Nations too have destinies. Hello? As a nation, have what? Destinies. Families have destinies. God has plans for every family. He has plans for every nation. there's a plan of God for Ghana that Ghana must enter. That's why there are prophecies. You see, that destinies, you see them in prophecies. There are prophecies for Ghana. Is that not it? Yeah, which means that God has a plan for Ghana too. There are prophecies for families. Is that not it? And the same for individuals. Yes, so Ghana has a destiny that God has determined that this nation, I'm going to use this nation for this purpose so as to fulfill my larger purpose. That's the reason why Ghana was the first to gain independence in Black Africa. The reason why. Ghana is apostolic first, his firstborn. And so Ghana is supposed to be a leader. Ghana was born to be a leader. You see, so when the time comes for the destiny of the nation to be opened up, God will raise interpreters of signs. And then they will begin to speak and pray. And the destiny, the church will pray. And the destiny of the nation will be opened up. Then we'll have the right people at the right place for the right things to happen. When the country is rightly aligned, you will see heaven is open. Then God's plan and purpose for the country will start coming up. The same with an individual. The same with a family. So time and worship. Now, come to Isaiah 29. Isaiah 29. Verse 11. Okay. It says, the whole vision, this one is just, I want to give you a picture of what I'm talking about. The whole vision has become to you like the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one who is literate, saying, read this, please. And he says, I cannot, for it is sealed. Then the book is delivered to one who is illiterate, saying, read this, please. And he says, I am not literate. He said, the whole vision is like a book. This is just a picture of how the book of your destiny looks like. It's like a book. Two things must be in place. The first of all, the seals must be broken. Then you must be able to read. So he said, he presented a book to somebody and said, take this book and read. The person said, but the book is closed. It's a closed destiny. I can't access it. There are seals. Then he gave the book to another person. The person, now the seal was broken. Then that person couldn't also read because he was not literate. You couldn't read. So the book of your destiny must be opened. Then also God must give you interpretation to read. Wisdom. That's why we are talking about wisdom. We are praying for wisdom. God must give you interpretation of the book. Sometimes, the reason why we get prophecies is because the prophet is looking into the book of your destiny and telling you God's plan for your life. There are some people who never get prophecies, never get dreams, never get visions because the books of their destinies are still closed. So they never have anything. They don't know. They're walking in darkness. Don't have even one single prophecy about your life, one single dream about your life, one single impression about what God wants to do to you, what God wants to do in your life and all that. It means that the book is closed. The prophet can only prophesy out of an open book. He told John to go to the angel and take the little book, which was open, and then eat it and prophesy. You see, eating and prophecy too, you know, when you eat, then you prophesy. There are some prophets, when you feed them, they will just prophesy. Okay, so come to Psalm 139. I want to touch you now, zero in on the particular book and see what some of the things that we can find in the book of your destiny, you know, so that Psalm 139. By the time I finish this series, you see, you understand many things. And not today. I mean, I'm not finishing that. It's a series, you know. You understand many things. Because there are a lot of misconceptions. Psalm 139, verse 14 to 17. I will praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. He said, how precious are your thoughts. Not thoughts. Many thoughts. So God can give you just one thought, you know, about you, about somebody. That's word of knowledge. But this one, he said, verse 16, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet none of them was. So God wrote things about you in the book. He wrote things about you in the book. God's ultimate purpose for your life is written in the book. Then also, God, when you look at what David was saying, he was saying that even his frame was written in the book. Even his frame. The frame stands for your height, your bones, your height. Everything was written down. So when you take your book, you write, you see that your height is in the book. Your shape is in the book. Your face is in the book. Your skin color is written in the book. The size of your nose, your eyes, your mouth, everything. Do you know why? Do you know why I'm saying that? Because Jesus Christ said, he said, do not be afraid, for even the very hairs of your head are numbered. Matthew 10:30. See, he said, the hair on your head, they are numbered. He didn't say counted, numbered. So if he took time to number your hair, strand by strand, strand number 45. So those of you who have been shaving all your hair, you are fighting against your destiny. Because he has taken time to number your hair. I mean, what a God. To take time, that means that God is interested in your personal details, your personal life. Which means that you should not have a problem with your hair. You should not complain about your hair, because he has numbered them. He has numbered. Is that not strange? Yes. He has everything worked out, planned out, numbered. So if your hair is numbered, then your body parts too are numbered. Your teeth, they are numbered. Every detail of your life is numbered, written in the book. That's why you should not complain about your body, about how you look. That's why you should not allow somebody's description of how you look to affect you and to make you look down on yourself and to make you hate what God has said, what has done. When you do that, you are fighting against God. Because it is, he wrote it, he said, when my members were not yet formed, he told Jeremiah, he said, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew. Who formed you? It is God who formed you in your mother's womb. God formed you. And he detailed out all these things in your book. So it's written in your book. So when you take your book, you see the cover, the book of destiny of Kojo Mensah. Okay, this Kojo Mensah, this God's plan and purpose for mankind is here. Then God's plan and purpose in particular for Kojo Mensah is second page. Kojo Mensah, I've called you, it's God is writing your purpose. I've made you like this or like that. And I've given you this assignment. I've given you this height, this shape, this color. I've numbered your hair. You have 334,000 strands of hair on your head. You have this and that. I've done all that. You will come from this place. God chose where you come from, who will give birth to you. God chose all that. In Acts 17:26, he said, God has appointed boundaries for man, for man's habitation. Boundaries. Some of you, if you have your way, you will not come from Ghana. Somebody said that if he knew when he was coming from his mother's womb, and maybe he heard push, he would just land. When he hears chimp, he said, No, I'm not coming here. I'm going back. But God chose where you come from. He chose your race. He chose your tribe. He chose your tongue. He chose all those things. All those details. Because if God can number the hair on your head, then don't be surprised when God puts all these details, including those who give birth to you. Sometimes, you see, and then also, God also chose the generation that you must come. And he packaged you for a particular generation. That's why there are no two human beings who are alike. Even twins have different destinies. That's why your thumbprint, even science has discovered that our thumbprint, nobody has your thumbprint in this world. Nobody. So one of the ways that they can really, really get you is your thumbprint. Nobody has it. This is how God has delicately and, you know, painstakingly and meticulously determined your destiny. How? So you see that sometimes we worry ourselves too much. Something you can't change. You are fighting to change. You can't change. There are things that God has. It is fixed. You can't. Look, now my hair, I don't know the number. You know, some have gone. But you see, my height, everything about me. So I should not look at my head and say, oh, it's too big. Are you getting me? Yeah, because God wrote that. Then God wrote your gifts and your talents, everything. He determined all those things. He said, Jeremiah, when you were in the womb, then I sanctified you as a prophet. He didn't become a prophet when somebody lays on him. No. He came with it. He was packaged to be a prophet. That's why I said that in families where there are witches, they were packaged to be prophets. Just that when they came to this earth, the devil intercepted it. So when they become born again, then they are put back on the path of destiny. So you will see glimpses. They'll be seeing the spirit. There are some families, every child that is born there is a witch. Yeah. There are some, it's a family treasure, a heritage, a chapadier. So as soon as you are born, they open your eyes. Because that's what they believed. They believed that this family is the eye of this community. You know, and the fetish priest, their line is fetish priest line. So they produce fetish priest. So any child who is born in that family, they will open your eyes. You will start seeing things. Because God called that family to be a family of priests and prophets. So when one person encounters the light, you will see that God will take that person and transform that person. Then light will reach the entire family. Then the seals of the family is broken up. You see people becoming born again in the family. And people assessing destinies in the family. Why? Because somebody has encountered light and broken the seals of the family. It's a book and there are seals. Who is that? So, all these things God has put in your book. Then when it's time for you to come, God will release you into the particular generation in which you'll be needed. You will not be needed in every generation. That's why you are in this world at this time, not by accident, but by divine purpose and orchestration. To fulfill a particular assignment that relates to the ultimate destiny of God for mankind. Conform to the image. But there's an assignment you will fulfill on your path to being conformed to the image. That is your gifts, your talents. God gives gifts and you see, there are many people who think that the gifts and the talents they are theirs. No, they were. You didn't play any role in getting those gifts and talents. Otherwise, they are not gifts. So there are some people that God packaged them. The way God packaged them, God designed them to be musically inclined. That is the gift. That is the packaging that you came with. There are some people, the packaging that they came with is for them to be athletic. That's how God packaged you. Yes. So that's why the Bible says, train up a child the way he should go. And when he grows, he will not depart from it. The child is coming already packaged, already programmed to go a certain way, certain direction. So when you train him up and not down, you will help the child to follow the path that he must follow. There are some children who have been packaged to follow the way of the arts. But you know, when they come on earth, their parents say that, no, you must follow the sciences. So they will follow the sciences and they will struggle and struggle and struggle and struggle and struggle because that is not the way you should go. There's some people, the way they should go is in the arts. They flow, they have a knack for speaking, for writing, for creative thinking, for being free. They are not logical. They don't value logical things. They are not logical. But some people are logical. They are scientists. They are logical. They want 1 + 1 = 2. This one is just for the natural world. Because God thinks about your what you will be in this world too. Because on your path to be conformed to Christ, God will take you through many channels, many pipes, before you end up as the finished product. So the gift that God gave you, they were all written in your book. That this is how this person, I've wired him to be. If you know God and you know how God thinks, when God calls you, he packages you and prepares you for a specific assignment. Ezekiel 28, Bible says, Lucifer, there were pipes and timbrels and other musical instruments in him. He said, your pipes, let me read that to you. Let me just read that to you. I want to show you something. Ezekiel 28. Okay. Verse 12. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The saddles, topaz, diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. See, these colors, the ladies who know them, you know. For instance, the men will say blue. The women will say turquoise blue, sea blue, army blue. Emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. The pipes. Because Lucifer was like an orchestra. When he stands, music is produced, you know. That's why we said that he was a choir leader. Not the choir leader. But when he stands like this, music is produced. So when you check through the Bible, from the time Satan fell to the end of Revelation, you don't find singing in heaven. You can go through. You don't find singing. The guy went with everything. Yeah. Sometimes I think, I will find singing. Then you see, then all the angels started worshiping with a loud voice, saying, you never find singing. Peace be, glory be to God in the highest, and on earth, peace and goodwill. Say, and I saw a host of angels saying, because he was the one who was the embodiment of music. And because of that, God prepared him to do that. So he was wired. There were pipes in him. So if he comes to stand here, then you see music flowing. Just like that. So whatever you flow in, that is a gift. You were wired to do that. There are some people, so Train up a child means that help the child to discover how he or she has been wired and help him or her to fulfill it. God gave us those gifts for our survival on this earth. Number two, to help us on our way to being conformed to the image. So, me, I'm not artistically inclined. I'm not an artist. If you even draw and ask me to trace, you will not like it. I'm not an artist. But there are some people, they can look at this picture, before you blink your eye, they have drawn it. It's natural. They were wired to do that. See, so if you put that person behind test tubes doing titration, you are frustrating him. Say, end point, titration, end point. What is end point? I want to be drawing the thing. You know, that is how the person expresses an aspect of the image of God. God is a creator. So all that is in your book. Then also, God has allotted certain things on your path of destiny that he writes them in your book. Your duty is to be on that path. You will encounter those things. There are some people that you will come to know at certain times of your destiny. You will bear me out that the people in your life now, some time ago, you never knew them. Yeah, you never knew them. But what were they? They were around. But they were not a lot. I mean, that you had not gotten to the point in your destiny where you should encounter them. There are some people, God himself will bring them into your life because of the ultimate purpose of being conformed to his image and because of your assignment that you must carry out to achieve that ultimate purpose. So God will bring them into your life. It was God who brought Eve into Adam's life. In fact, Adam never asked for a wife. Adam never told God, I need a wife. No, he was okay. He was okay with God. He was okay with God. But God said, it's not good for man to be alone. Then God brought Eve to Adam, already packaged. And the two of them, because of the assignment God had given to Adam, then Eve also came. Now, by Eve, I'm not just referring to wives and husbands. I'm talking about relationships. There are certain people that you will come into contact with on your path of destiny. They have been stationed there to be a blessing to you. In fact, there are even some of them, they have been stationed there to worry you, to push you, oh yes, to push you into your destiny. Do you know that Joseph's brothers, God had determined that Joseph should be a prince. His brothers, were they blessings or curses? Were they a blessing or a curse? They were a blessing. At the end of his life, he said, you meant it for evil, but God turned it for good. He said, God sent me ahead of you to preserve a generation. Wow. I thought it was his brothers who sold him to Egypt. But he said, no, God sent me. Which means that all the things that we go through as believers, even the ones that Satan does to us, they can never overturn God's counsel, God's purpose. So Satan can come against your life with something because you are on the path of destiny. God has already planned Satan's activity into your destiny, into his plan for your life. Yeah. He has already planned Satan's activities. So as a believer, what happens to your life? God, that's why I say all things work together for good. Both the bad things and the good things, the ugly things. God has a way of working Satan into his plan. He said he takes him in his craftiness. He thinks he's wise. But God uses him. He uses Satan. Sometimes he takes him in his craftiness. Like he did to Jesus. Satan thought that I'm going to kill this man. When I kill him, then I've finished the light of the world. Because he said that for as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. So I'm going to extinguish the light of, I'm going to extinguish the light of the world by killing this man. But he didn't know that God had already ordained and foreseen that Satan would do this and had worked it into his plan. So God said, I will allow Satan to touch him and kill him. But I will work my plan through that so that by death, I can release the life that is in him. So Satan instigated Judas to betray him. And Judas sold him for money, then betrayed him to the people. They arrested him. When Peter and co. were fighting for Jesus, Jesus Christ was unperturbed. I mean, he was cool because the thing has been planned. And no matter how high Satan rises, he can never rise above God and above God's plan for your life. So they took him to the cross and they nailed him on the cross and they killed him. And they were jubilating. They didn't know that his death meant life. And out of death was coming life. Hallelujah. So, as a believer, God has worked all those things into his purpose for your life. In fact, can I shock you? God has even worked the mistakes you make into his purpose. See, for instance, Moses. Do you know that God came to Moses when he was when the people of Israel were 390 years in Egypt? That was when God came to Moses. When they were 390 years in Egypt, God said there will be 400 years in Egypt. So they will spend 400 years in Egypt. So when it was 390 years, God came to Moses. At that time, he was 40 years. You see, his time, according to his timeline, at the age of 40, he must deliver the people of Israel. So in Acts 7, the Bible says, when he was 40, it came into his heart. It came into his heart to visit his brethren. Who was doing that? It was God who was, because the time was up. But Moses made a mistake and he jumped ahead of God and he tried to deliver them through his own might. He saw one Egyptian and Hebrew fighting, then he killed the Egyptian. Then he didn't kill the Hebrew. Bible says, for he thought that his brethren would know how God would deliver them through his hand. So when he did that, then God said, no, you have made a mistake. I will not use a military man to save them. I will use a shepherd. So he had to go to the wilderness, 40 years in the wilderness. So 390 plus 40 is 430, right? So the Israelites spent 430 years in bondage instead of 400 years because Moses made a mistake of jumping ahead of God. And yet still, God had already worked all into his plan. That is why when you give up, that is when you are telling God that your destiny should be closed. No matter what, the believer should never give up. It doesn't matter how many times you fall, rise up and continue. It doesn't matter what comes against you. The devil may bring a lot of things against you. Know that God has already worked all those things into his plan. Hallelujah. That is what God has done. The book. And when you become born again, that is when you start assessing the book of your destiny. Well, because he said, for me to live is Christ. And to die is gain. So when you start living, when you meet Christ, that's when you start living. So God doesn't measure your life by the number of years you have. He measures your life by when you accepted Christ and the opportunities that you have, opportunities that he has created for you on your path. So somebody can be 100 years old, live in this world for 100 years old. But in the sight of God, He lived effectively for only 5 years. Because he encountered Christ at the age of 95. So all that he did, he may have been following glimpses of his destiny sometimes even using his gifts and talents, because those things are his wired to do them. But destiny begins when you encounter Christ. When you accept Christ, that is when you are ready to live out the details of the book of your destiny. So, God has written all that. First of all, he has written your purpose to be conformed to the image of Christ. He has written down a plan. The plan is going to use. The path is going to put you on. There are some people, you see, for instance, let's say you came into this world because of rape. Just, excuse me. You came into this world because of rape. Now, so you would think that, oh, then surely I must be a mistake. No. No. God worked on you, packaged you to come in a certain generation, put you in a certain line. Usually, the man is the one who carries the line. God put you in a certain line for you to appear. The devil came in, and the devil tried to intercept, but God worked it into his plan. That is why people are born through rape, and yet still they have a destiny. They encounter Christ, and they start living out the details of their book. There are some people who never saw their parents. Never saw their father died, their mother died through childbirth, and they came to this world just like that. Never saw their parents. There's a president of Gabon, the former one. He was an orphan. He was in an orphanage house. Even Jesus, if you consider the way he was born, you would think it was a mistake to be born in a manger. But he ended up as a king. So you can be born into the witch doctor's pot, into the pit of a fetish priest. What God has said concerning your life, it will come to pass. Amen. It will surely come to pass. So all the ways that through which we come to this world, they are not necessary. They are not. They've all been worked into God's plan. Yes, they've all been working to God's plan. All the ways. You will see somebody who is a believer. The person encounters one problem or the other. And you think that that is the end. You think that that is the end. But you see God's hand, God's invisible hand, lifting the person. Even using those problems to refine him and to conform him to the image of Christ. It's a mystery. Everything has already been worked into God's plan. There are some places you step. As you step, you see milk and honey. There are other places you step. As you step, you see thorns and briars. But all those things have been worked into God's plan. Then God will determine the process, the path of your destiny. Then the signpost along the path. That if this person, this is the path I will put him on. Now, if he's on this path, he's going to meet this situation. He's going to meet this person. He's going to meet this event. He's going to meet this opportunity, this door. So, as long as you are on the path, there are certain doors you will meet. There are certain people you meet. Jesus Christ said, when you get to the village, you will meet a man carrying a pitcher of water. He said, follow the man. He will lead you to an upper room fully furnished. So, God has determined on their path that they will meet a man. It's not a woman, it's a man. The man is the one carrying the water, not the woman, not the woman. So, if you say that, well, after all, the woman of Samaria, you know, she was carrying water, so I don't think it's a man. You make a mistake. So, they saw the man carrying the water. Then they followed the man. Followed him. Then the man led them to an upper room. Fully furnished. That is the destiny. So, if God gives you wisdom, and then You pray that God should give me wisdom and God should order my steps, and you leave your hand in God's leave your life in God's hand. You will go through like both the good, the bad, and the ugly. But everything will be worked out. You will be walking in prepared places. You will never miss your destiny. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah.
Amen.
So then your calling was determined. I've talked about your gifting, your calling. Your calling. God made us in shapes and sizes. He made us great and small. We have different destinies. However God made you, you will conform to the image of Christ. And he had made it possible for you to go through life, enjoy the journey. That's prosperity. Prosperity simply means enjoying the journey of life. Meeting the right people at the right time. Meeting the right events at the right time. Entering the right doors at the right time. That is prosperity. That is prosperity. So God called Abraham. Abraham was rich in gold and silver. And so he worked with God. And God put him on a certain path. Along that path, there were so many ups and downs. There was a temptation to go to Egypt, which he fell into that temptation, went down to Egypt, came with Sarah, gave birth to Ishmael, who became a thorn in his flesh. You know, Ishmael was the son of the flesh. When Ishmael was born, then Isaac was born later, at God's appointed time. But because Ishmael had already been born, Ishmael was taunting Isaac and making mockery of Isaac. That's how our lives are sometimes. When we jump ahead of God, we don't wait for God's timing. You know what happens? We go down to Egypt, then we get a Hagar, then we give birth to an Ishmael. So when the time comes for Isaac to come, you will see Ishmael is also there. What are you going to do? Your property must go to Isaac, but you have given birth to Ishmael. And Abraham, you know, and God made sure Ishmael lived. It was all part of Abraham's process. Ishmael was alive. God never killed Ishmael. Ishmael was Abraham's own effort that produced Ishmael. But God didn't kill Ishmael. He allowed Ishmael to run side by side with Isaac. It got to a point, God told Abraham, now give me Isaac. Now Abraham thought that was the end of his life. Because I've struggled for this Isaac. I've waited for 25 years. Now I should give him to you. So Bible says Abraham gave Isaac. All those things were allotted. They were appointed seasons and times on his timeline. Testings, twistings, turnings, detours, many, many things. They all work together in the plan. Let me end. Come to 2 Timothy 2:20. When I say God makes different vessels of different sizes, so you, wisdom is to know what God has made you and to grow in it. That's wisdom. 2 Timothy 2:20. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good use. Now, he says there are many vessels in the house. Some are vessels of gold, some are silver, some are wood, some are clay. Now, it's not that the gold is a vessel of honor and the wood of dishonor. No. He says if anyone purges himself, whether you are gold or you are wood, if you purge yourself, you become a vessel of honor. Hello? Because you and I know that there are some cups you have in your house. They are very nice glasses and all that, but you don't drink from them. But there's one that you particularly like that you always drink from. I had one mug like that. It broke. It got broken. I always drank from it because I liked it. It was always available and it had always paid himself. So I like to drink from it. So God will use you not because we're a vessel of gold, but because you have paid yourself. But not everybody is gold. Some are silver. Some are wood. Some are clay. Some are great. Some are small. He said, I saw before the throne the dead, both great and small. Not every human being will be an international figure. Not every Christian will be an international figure. It's not written in your book. You will not be there. You will not be that. That's why God will tell you, maybe through a dream, through a prophecy, or through personal conviction, that you are an international figure. And God himself, as you obey God and you stay on his path, God himself will take you there. Not everybody will listen, there are some people, they will have local influence. Others will have national influence. Others will have international influence. It's not everybody who can be a president of a country. You said that there are some people, it will not even come into their heart to even go there. But there are some people, something in them will be pushing them. I have to be the president. I have to go. They have been wired. It is in them. Hello? That God also determined that. Now, it does not mean that the one who is in who God has wired to be at the president is a better human being. No. It all depends on what God wanted the person to achieve. Oh, let me read this one to you. Come to Romans 9. Romans 9, verse 11. Romans 9, verse 11. Okay, verse 10. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one man, even by our father Isaac, for the children not yet being born, nor having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him who calls, it was said to her, the older shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. He didn't say Esau I have disliked, I have hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Certainly not. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose I have raised you up, that I may show you my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. Therefore he has mercy on whom he wills, and on whom he wills he hardens. You will say to me then, why does he still find fault? For who has resisted his will? But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? Does not the potter have power over the clay from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? They are just confusing us. Yeah, so he said that God is the one who had the lamp of clay. And he made vessels. Some are tall jars. Some are mugs, cups. Some are bottles. Some are saucepans, vessels, different vessels. Some are blenders, some are fridges, some are cookers, some are toasters, some are what? What? Iron kettle. You know, the kettles are those who are always boiling, you know, the boiling type. Then the fridge are those who are cool. So in a lighthouse, you find people who have been shaped different sizes. You see, so if God's plan and purpose for your life is that you will be an international figure, then God, you, when you pray for wisdom, God will begin to give you glimpses. He will show you. Then as you obey God's instructions, you will get there. So the wisdom is, if you don't want to waste time, you ask God for wisdom to let you know what he has wired you to be, what he has packaged you to be. Then you follow it. That is where blessing will come from. That's where reward will come from. He said, John the Baptist, of all those born of women, from Adam to John, John was the greatest. Who made him the greatest? It was God. He said, he shall be great in the sight of God. So in the wisdom of God, he made John greater than Elijah. In the wisdom of God, he made John greater than Moses. He gave Moses more gifts, but he made John greater than Moses. He gave Elijah authority, but he made John greater than Elijah. In the wisdom of God. So we come in various packages. That's why there's no room for envy and jealousy. Because what you can do, I cannot do. What I can do, you can't also do. For God has set in the body every part as it has pleased him. 1 Corinthians 12:18. Say, for God has set in the body each part as it has pleased him. Not you. As it has pleased God. He made this person an apostle, made this person a pastor, made this person a prophet, made this person. It is God who determined that. It is not human beings. God made some people as the toe. They are always hidden. And made some as the nose. Always seen. We sometimes think that God wants every believer to fly a private jet. It's not true. Not all believers will fly private jets. In fact, not all believers will be multimillionaires. That's not true. There are some who have been wired like that because of what God will have them do. But prosperity is the portion of every believer. Whatever God has called you to do, God wants you to have a good journey through life. Not to miss your destiny. Not every church is destined to be big. So if God calls you, you must know. If God has called you to pastor a big church, God will show you. It's not of him who runs or of him who wills, but God will show it mercy. Mercy means grace. God has wired some people. So if your destiny is to be big, even if you start small, you will end up as big. It's like the way God has created the elephant and the giraffe. The elephant and the crocodile, which is bigger? Which is bigger? Elephant and the crocodile. Can you compare the two? Which is longer? Which is longer? Crocodile is longer. Elephant is bigger. When you are a baby elephant, you don't struggle to be big. It's just a matter of time you will be big. Because that is how you have been packaged. You are a baby elephant. Baby elephant, even if they don't eat and they just drink water, they'll be big. Oh, yes. Like I was telling somebody last week, I said, you, I look at you, the way you eat, you're not big. Some of us, even if we eat one ice cream, then we are getting bigger because we are baby elephants. By the way, when I say elephant, don't think I'm talking about MPP. No, it's not MPP. Elephant came before MPP. I'm talking about spiritual things. Okay, so now in conclusion, I'm going to continue next week. I'm going to talk about the call and the predestination. You know, for instance, when you read Acts chapter 13, verse 48, something is there. Let me just read it. Acts 13, 48. Acts 13:48. It says, Now, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified God and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. Look at that. He said, they preached the message, but as many as were appointed to eternal life, they were the ones who believed. Which means that there are some people who are never going to believe the gospel. And it's a matter of predestination. God selected, you see, God chose us even before we were born in Christ. So when you receive the gospel, you are obtaining mercy. Grace. It's by grace. That's what I say. Because there are some people who never receive the gospel. You see, they have not been appointed to eternal life. So it's not our evangelism that brings people, even though that is necessary for witness. But there are some people, we don't know those who are appointed. That's why we go to evangelize. Some people are sheep. Some are goats. The goats, you can even tie a rope around their neck and pull them to church. They'll go back. But the sheep, you may even just not say much, but something in them will say, I have to look for God. They have been appointed to eternal life. There are some people whose names were written in the book of life before the foundation of the world. I'll talk about that. Come to Revelation chapter 17. Some of these things, if you don't understand them, you may think that God is partial. No, God is not partial. God knows everybody's heart. Whether you receive the gospel or not, he knows. And based on that knowledge, he selects. And so we have the elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Peter said, the elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Revelation 17, verse 8. The beast that you saw was and is not, and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was and is not and yet is. This is the end of the world. And it says their names were written from the foundation of the world. There are some people right now, they are in beer bars and they are in discos and all that. Their names are in the book of life. As soon as the gospel gets to them, they will come. That's why you must go and preach. They are waiting for the time, and God has appointed that they will never die. They will by all means encounter the gospel. Some of them are the skin of their teeth. Narrow escape. As if the person near death experience, then the person will come to the foot of the cross. He was destined to be saved. Some will never receive Jesus and they will die. They've not been appointed. So if you have been appointed to eternal life, thank God. Thank God you can believe. Thank God you are a Christian. Thank God because he wrote your name. He selected you. Divine selection has allocated you. Has located you. Hallelujah. I want us to pray. I'm going to continue. I've not talked about the details of the path of your destiny, the things you will meet on the path of your destiny. The junctions, the traps, the signposts, prophecies that God has given you. Why do they delay sometimes? Why do they sometimes seem to be delayed? Is your timeline in sync with divine timeline? You know, what can account for that? When you are out of sync with divine purpose, your timeline will be out of tune with God's timeline. And God's purpose can be delayed. But destiny, you attain destiny. I want us to pray for wisdom, the spirit of wisdom. That God, give me the wisdom. Wisdom to decode. See, the book of your destiny should be decoded. And that book, God God has given that book to you. He said, who knows the things of a man save the spirit that is in the man? God has deposited that book into your spirit. But it needs decoding. It needs interpretation. So we are praying for the spirit of wisdom. Give me wisdom. Understanding. Let me know what is written in my book. Open up the book of my destiny. Open it up. Open it up. Through dreams, through prophecy, through vision, through conviction, through rhema. Open it up. Let me know where to be at what time. What is your plan concerning this thing? What is your plan concerning this person? Is this person coming into my life at this point in time to help me on the path of destiny? What am I supposed to do in this person's life at this point in time? Your relationships, you must ask God about them. Relationships, people who come to your life, your friends, your partners, your business partners, people that have been ordained on your path of destiny. Pray for wisdom that you will not miss them. You will not miss your signpost. God will give you signs that will point to things, and will point to open doors along the path of your destiny. That God will not leave us in darkness, but He will speak to us. He will order our steps and order our path. He will direct our path, speak to our path. That we will walk on the path of destiny. Come hell or high water, we will walk on the path of destiny. Korean Talabaham, Kotayan Mahasa, Kotelebekosia, Matelemekota, Komatelemeko Siriana, Matana Makasa, Kototolo Salaham, Leikra Talamaha Sirianara, Moriandrebehanha. Ask God, where am I in your plan? Where am I in the scheme of things? Maybe now you are in the pit, but your destiny is in the palace. Don't be frustrated. Don't be bitter against God. Just ask God, where am I in your plan? Where am I in your purpose? God will tell you, you are in the pit now. You will go to Potiphar's house and you will go to prison. But from prison, you will go to the palace. Then God will give you a picture of your destiny. Maybe now you are on the cross. You are on the cross being crucified. Betrayed by Judas. But ask God, where am I? Where am I in your plan, in your purpose for my life? And God will tell you, you are on the cross now, but hang on the cross, despite the shame, for the joy that is set before you. For tomorrow you will be crowned. Today you will be buried. But tomorrow you will rise from the dead. And tomorrow you will rise in power. And you will be declared the Son of God with power. And you will be crowned. For that joy that is set before you, endure the cross, despise the shame for now. Ko trehen nabaham, le maramalama sikaha, lo tolobo siyalama. Maybe Samuel anointed you to be king, but now you are in the wilderness. Now you are being chased by Saul. You have been anointed as king, but you are being chased by Saul. Don't be afraid. Don't be worried. Don't be frustrated. Just ask God. Where am I in your plan and purpose? Why is this thing happening? What is going on? Where am I? And God will tell you that someone anointed you as king. When I said you were king, I meant it. I meant every word of it. And now you are going through the wilderness. Now you are being chased by Saul. But if you don't give up, a time will come. I will put you on the throne. And no man can contest it. No man can contest you. I will put you on the throne. It is just part of destiny. It is just part of your journey. It is just part of your path. The path you must walk on. Ask God for wisdom. Wisdom. Koriyini Mahasa. Mantelebeko Siria Talabam. No Balea Telebekos. Palimedahan Telemaha. Botolomekosa. Betalemegianamahas. Ko repelebeche. Repele Bahatara. Palerebekosa. Lo Telemekasi. Mantete Preteta. La Curia Talaba Siki. Ropotore. Mandereka Turiala. In the name of Jesus. We are praying again. We are praying for the spirit of understanding. You yourself will bear witness there are certain things that took place in your life, that happened in your life. You thought your life had come to an end. You thought your life had come to a close, a standstill. But look at you now. Look at what God has done in your life. Because your destiny was planned by God. And nothing can mess it up. The only person who can mess up your destiny is you yourself. For you to stop believing. For you to stop believing what God has said. Once you believe and hold on to what God has said, it doesn't matter whether you go low or you go high. You will surely accomplish divine purpose and surely fulfill destiny. It doesn't matter what comes your way. The enemy can come like a flood. The earth will open her mouth and swallow the flood. And you'll be called out to God. And even though you go to the wilderness, you'll be nourished up. God has set you on a path, and that path you will follow if you don't turn aside from following God. You will surely encounter God. You will surely meet your destiny. You will surely fulfill your destiny. Whatever God has determined for your life, you will surely fulfill it. Let's pray for understanding. Understanding of situations. Spiritual understanding. Paul said, I pray that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him. Walk worthy of the Lord, spiritual understanding, wisdom, and spiritual understanding. What you are going through, you need understanding. You need understanding. You need to ask God, what is happening? What is happening? What is the big picture? What is the big picture? What path am I treading on? Understanding. 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 The spirit of understanding. The sons of Issachar. The sons of Issachar. They had understanding. What Israel ought to do. Understanding of seasons and times. What Israel ought to do. Therefore, all their brethren were at their command. Let's pray for understanding. The spirit of understanding. That we will understand. We understand seasons and times. What season am I in? What season am I working in now? What season? Is it the night season? Is it the cold season? Is it winter? Is it summer? Is it heat season? What season am I? What season am I in now? What season? Is it day? Is it day yet? What season? Understanding. In all thy getting, get understanding. Wisdom on the path of destiny. Understanding, understanding, understanding. Thank you, Lord. Kobriane Mahasi. Gebre de Bahatas. Mandenebeko Shibrahatalas. Kobra Yanirbe Suriada. Hotelemeko Terahasa. Mantelebeko Siriataha. Lo kamayande prolos sanderebe kota yantayate batiyala hasota. In the name of Jesus, we are praying this prayer for Ghana. Ghana has a destiny. If there's a new Jerusalem in heaven, there's a new Ghana in heaven. And this new Ghana in heaven represent God's plan for this nation. The devil sometimes tries to hijack and intercept. But when the saints pray, God's original intent for the nation is restored. We are praying for Ghana. You know, last year I said the 2016 election will be the most peaceful election Ghana has ever had. I said it in July. And you saw the turbulence and the tension that was in the system. But the reason why I said that was because of certain keys God decoded for me concerning the nation. I said, this is, then I said, God is going to orchestrate things in the election. I said, we are going to see the book of Esther in the election year, where God is going to do things sovereignly. Ghana is now on the path of destiny. We are praying. We are coming against every target, everything the enemy has targeted, you know, in the spirit realm. That let our borders be secured. Let our gates be protected.
from evil influence, from violence, and from deadly attacks in the name of Jesus. The devil is bent on destabilizing this nation because of the destiny of this nation. But when the saints pray, the destiny of Ghana will be saved, will be secured. That's why the church must be up and doing. The church must not allow Ghana to become like America. There's a reason why God raised America. America had a purpose. God is the one who made America great for a purpose. The reason why now they are going through attacks is because they have veered off destiny's course. And God in his mercy is using judgment to bring them back. We don't want to go to that land. If the church is wise and the church wise enough to pray, we will prevent many things from happening. Now, believers think that, no, we should just allow things. No. We must rise up and stop them and secure the destiny of this nation. Evil influence coming to this nation. We are praying. We are telling God that the gates of this nation, let them be securely shut against evil influence, against evil arrows of the enemy. Let's pray in the name of Jesus. Mandele mekosi, lankata yalahas, rina kotorobus, mandele bekataha, holy terebe siriana, makiana matolemis, mantele bekosa, ibran namahasa, in the name of Jesus. Ghana will not die, Ghana will live. The purpose of God for Ghana will be established in the name of Jesus. God's agenda for this nation will stand in the name of Jesus. Satan's agenda for this nation will never stand. We shut our borders to evil influence in the name of Jesus. Let our borders be secured in Jesus' name. We release the spirit of love. We release the spirit of life. We release the spirit of God. We release angels of God. Angels of God. Angels of God to wage warfare on behalf of this nation in the name of Jesus. That what God has said concerning Ghana, God has said concerning Ghana will come to pass. God said, Ghana is my jewel. Ghana is my jewel. And I will pour a prosperity anointing upon Ghana because of its apostolic commission. Ghana is apostolic. Ghana is a leader in Africa. And there's a place for Ghana in God's purpose and plan. And God says he's pouring prosperity anointing on this nation in the name of Jesus. Let that word of God be activated upon this nation in Jesus' name. Come with Hitarabas Mandere Bekoshi Ikarabatarabas. Now, we are praying this last prayer. We are still praying for Ghana. We are praying, you know, we heard that the vice president was sick. We are praying for him, that God should have mercy on him. That this sickness, he will be delivered and he will be healed. But we are also saying that whoever must, see, now that we have come on path, all our leaders must be chosen by the church in the spirit. So, we are praying that what God has determined for this nation in terms of leadership, it will never go to the wrong person. It will go to the one that God has appointed for this nation. The church, we have a right to declare that it should be done on earth as it is in heaven. So, in accordance with what God has said concerning Ghana, the one who is to be president after Akufo-Addo, we are establishing that one. We don't know the one, we are talking about, but we are praying for the vice president too, that he will not die. Let's pray. Hey, Mataya Nabahasu, Gondere Bekosia, Lama Lamanabaside, Repetere Mahasu Katas, Lekro Tolobokosa, Makande Preteres, Mantolobokosataha, Li Nantonemi Hashika, Repekere Bahas, Makria Belekotis, Mokere Betosa, Mondatini Mehese. Kantete bata li Catalina hasote rata lakus manto logisa ye katilia handas he pataya manto lemekos riketelebis motani hatasa aone yana mahasikete. Have mercy on God. Have mercy on God. Have mercy on Ghana. Have mercy on Ghana.
In the name of Jesus, have mercy. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, the rod of the wicked shall not fall upon the lot of the righteous. The rod of the wicked, the scepter of wickedness shall not fall upon the lot, upon the land allotted for the righteous. The scepter of wickedness shall not fall. In the name of Jesus, let God's purpose for Ghana be established in Jesus' name. We silence all noise. We silence and mute all voices speaking contrary to God's will. In the name of Jesus, let God's will prevail. In Jesus' name. Come in here, Tanama City. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We pray, oh God, for mercy. We pray for wisdom. Pray for grace. Pray for understanding. Father, you help us. You keep us on the path of destiny. All that you've earmarked for us to help us fulfill destiny and conform to the image of Christ. We pray that by the spirit of wisdom and understanding, we'll walk into them. Open our eyes, O God, the eyes of our understanding. Speak to us, O God, throw light on our path of destiny. Help us, O God, to move from glory to glory and to move from strength to strength and to move from faith to faith and to move from grace to grace. We thank you. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated.